The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Howard, I'm very good, and you?
Excellent, thank you. So we're heading towards the final days of Sukkot. Today is that unbelievable march in Jerusalem.
It is so festive. It is amazing to be in Jerusalem these days of Sukkot, and also for the next 2 days as we celebrate both Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret on Thursday. Lots of celebrations. We're making it a trifecta. It's all good.
Absolutely fantastic, and what a time. What a time to be in Israel. Really, really incredible. Rolene, let's talk about some of the issues before we get on to the light and fluffy stuff. Hamas and Fatah are meeting in Cairo.
Well, they are meeting in Cairo. Talk started today, and as we've spoken about at length, that they are participating in reconciliatory talks. There are still some major obstacles that they have to navigate, and one of them is what happens with security forces. Hamas do not want to give up control of their military wing or their armed wing. There's a Din al-Qassam, and the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas says if they are to unite or if they are to show some kind of unity, it all has to be under one government, one auspices. But Abbas told Egyptian TV last week that he would not accept a scenario in which Hamas's armed wing maintained control of its weapons. And believe me, he's not speaking in terms of, well, let's be conciliatory towards Israel. That's not how it works. I think it's more of a tug of war of power in Gaza. And Hamas have said that, you know, they need to unite because of issues that the Gazans are facing under the auspices of Hamas. I mean, it's amazing that they won't say that they are responsible for it, but we do know that there are major issues with regards to electricity, and that comes at the behest of the Palestinian Authority and not of Israel.
Rolene, just asking a very undiplomatic question, but because obviously it's everybody's, it's within Gaza's, the Gazan citizens' interest that Fatah and Hamas make love, not war. But what's better for Israel?
Well, this is it. I think that, you know, we are very, very cynical. Israelis haven't opined that much on what is happening. We are adopting more of a wait-and-see approach. Our big concern is whether or not this is a ploy by Hamas to kind of get international recognition, because they are recognized as a terror organization, if this is their bid in a roundabout way. There are some countries who don't believe that Hamas is a terror entity, saying that they were democratically elected. Also, what does the situation then become? Do we have another situation like we saw several years ago when Hamas assumed power of Gaza, and they assumed power because they basically tortured or killed most of their political opponents? So we're adopting more of a cautious wait and see approach. You know, for us, if there is to be any kind of peace agreement, we need to have everybody on board, and Hamas is not an entity that we can make any kind of peace with anytime soon. There is the Hamas Charter to take into consideration, and here I see some people saying, yes, but, you know, they've changed it, they have updated it. You know what, the subtext of that text is still very, very much the same. So for us, Hamas is very much maybe trying to be the wolf in sheep's clothing, and we are very, very wary of that. Also, what are the guarantees that should Fatah assume control over both Gaza and the West Bank, that they will sort out unemployment issues, water and energy infrastructure issues? You know, this is what we're all waiting to see. I don't think that we will necessarily see any kind of conciliation or unity government lasting for very long.
Absolutely, and it's one that's very, very concerning because the impact across the border in Israel is always significant depending on who has control there. Qatari and French Jewish candidates are up to head UNESCO?
Well, you know, when I saw that there were elections for UNESCO, I thought, you know, this is really the sublime to the ridiculous because you've got Qatar who are isolated at the moment because of their ties to Iran and allow for terror organizations like Hamas, for Hamas's leadership to basically live or have asylum in the Gulf state. And then you've got a French Jew who is up for nomination towards heading UNESCO. We are pretty anxious about who heads UNESCO because of our history over the recent year of them saying that we don't have a historical or biblical claim to our holy sites like Hebron, like Jerusalem, like the Temple Mount. So we are quite anxious. So far, it looks like most of the votes are going towards Qatar.
There was a shock.
There were 19 yesterday, big shocker, 19 towards Qatari candidate Hamad bin Abdulaziz Al-Kawari. Try saying that multiple times.
Well, you don't say that on Whiskey Thursday, that's for sure.
Or maybe you do. Who knows? Followed by 13 votes to France's Audrey Azoulay. And she comes from a very, very prominent Moroccan Jewish family. There is a third in the mix, and that is Egypt's representative Mushira Katab, who has garnered just 11 votes. But as you can imagine, there's probably a lot of politicking behind closed doors. This is a big issue for Israel. One victory that we did get over the last week is that there won't be any votes on any anti-Israel resolutions while UNESCO meets this week. And it might not sound like a big victory, but it really is quite a big diplomatic victory for us if you consider the way the voting has gone over the last couple of months. And our ambassador to UNESCO, Carmel Shammah HaCohen, who is like some of us, and I won't mention any names, Howard, who's known to be quite outspoken, says that should the Qatari candidate Hamad bin Abdulaziz Al-Kawari. I said it again, Howard.
You're out of control, Rolene. Out of control today.
Completely. Must be those clowns that have terrified me into this. He has said that, should the Qatari candidate win, it's not good news for the organization and certainly not for Israel. But also we need to remember that the current director general was chosen only after receiving 7 votes in the first round. So this is first round of voting, and I'm sure that there is a lot of lobbying by Israel behind the scenes that we don't have another UNESCO fiasco.
Well, excuse me for being skeptical, but any organization that can vote that Israel has no historical connection to the Temple Mount is unlikely to vote a Jewish candidate into that position. Maybe I'm just being way too skeptical, but I just can't see it happening.
Well, I think Israel should introduce a bill or a resolution saying the earth is flat and sits on the shoulders of a giant. They'd probably vote that in as well.
So here's a WhatsApp for you from Gimple. He's saying, Gimple the Fool, he's saying, Rolene, did you see any of the tweets of the Spanish soccer players after last night's game? They seem to be very excitedly looking over the Kotel Plaza during Birkat HaKohanim. Also, can Israel please qualify for Qatar 2022? It would really make Middle East politics interesting. Can you imagine?
Well, Gimple, hi, Gimple. I've missed you, Gimple. I did see that. I think that's quite an incredible picture.
It was. I saw that too. Brilliant.
The captain. I'm not going to say his name because, unfortunately, I'm not that knowledgeable about soccer other than the ball.
Gimple, who was that? Who was it, Gimple? Help us out here.
Help me out, Gimple. I know you're my friend. But I think, and I'm putting it out there, let's see if Qatar manages to retain the World Cup. You never know.
Yeah, I already see that there's a lot of talk about taking it away from them. It will be interesting because what will happen? Surely they must have got a pre-agreement that they're not going to ban anybody who's a member of FIFA, a country that's a member of the federation. Surely they wouldn't be allowed to stop them from coming to visit. The soccer player, by the way, thanks Gimple, is Sergio Ramos, and I did see those tweets as well. It was quite an incredible photo of him. I think he was standing. It looked like he was standing at the on the Aish balcony. You know, they got the Aish Torah balcony over. That's the impression that I got. That's what it appeared to me. But it really was an absolutely incredible one. BDS Morocco have attacked Israeli singer who is set to perform in Tangiers. Which singer is this?
This is a jazz artist. Her name is Noam Vazana, and she was in Tangier, and she said that this was last week, and she said, you know, that an anti-Israel protester rushed towards the stage and actually rushed towards her. And the reason I wanted to profile the story is because if there is still anybody out there who believes that this is a great humanitarian organization and they're really concerned about human rights, this is a singer. She's standing by herself on the stage. She's not doing anything wrong. She's singing jazz, whether you like jazz or not. And to rush onto the stage and to try and hurt her is absolutely untoward. But this is not the first time that we've seen evidence of this. Some of the world's biggest stars have complained about threats to their lives because of BDS. And those of us who are over a certain age remember Boy George and Culture Club very well. Mm-hmm. And Boy George tweeted probably about 10 days ago, he said one of his bandmates has been absolutely bullied into not coming to Israel. He says all the more reason he believes for him to come to Israel. He thinks it's very, very relevant. And not only that, but he has his outfits ready.
Karma chameleon. Gosh.
Karma chameleon, yeah. Unfortunately, if he had to sing, "Do you really want to hurt me?" BDS might see that as an invitation. But Vazana went on to say that the approximately 1,500 who attended her performance were very, very supportive of her. She said that the Moroccan king actually intervened to provide extra security measures for her. And she said, you know, it was quite frightening to have them singing out with Noam and burning an Israeli flag. She said, unfortunately for them, while they tried to deny her roots, they actually helped her rediscover her roots. And it was very emotional for her.
Incredible. Very, very powerful story indeed. Finally, thousands of Israeli and Palestinian women have marched for peace. I saw photos of this. Very, very, very impressive, I must say.
Well, this is another one that kind of cocks the snoot at BDS and exposes them for who they are. Because here you have thousands of women who have been marching through the country, really. It's a week-long march. There are thousands of Israeli women, Palestinian women. It's called Women Wage Peace. The biggest critics to this are not Israelis or not feminists. The biggest critics to this are people like Mahmoud Abbas, certain elements within Hamas and certain elements within BDS who object to the normalizing of relations with Israel.
Yes, because Raleen, it's very simple. There is the economy of terror. And until those taps are turned off and until such time as conflict ceases to pay, we are going to see conflict, unfortunately. You've just got to look at it as a purely economic. There's an economic incentive all the way from the top down to the terrorists who get paid to commit murder or to commit acts of terror, and everybody benefits. Until those taps are turned off and until conflict ceases to pay, we're going to have conflict. It's the most terrible thing.
Well, I mean, just to quote Hamas, I mean, I normally I hate quoting Hamas, but Hamas have said that they are absolutely opposed to this. They say that this is a departure from the national consensus and an offense against the history of our people. So I don't know what is offending them more, the normalization, the fact that, as you just said, it challenges the economy of terror, or the fact, and here I put on my feminist hat, or rather my feminist shoes, the fact that women are using their voices and they are managing to accomplish something that that they have failed to do. And they have gone on to say, and this is the Palestinian National Committee of the International BDS campaign. Okay, all those there who still supporting Israel, listen up carefully, because if you carry on supporting these insert whatever expletive you want, this is what you're working against: normalization. You're working against peace. You are anti-peace. They have said normalization is an Israeli weapon designed not only to colonize our minds, but to undermine the BDS movement as it grows steadily and achieves success in isolating Israel academically, culturally, and to a lesser degree, economically. And they've accused the march of being not only an illusion and a deception, but a first way to enable the occupation to penetrate our society and distort national consciousness. It must be a real terrible day when a bunch of intolerant bigots are threatened by women marching peacefully through the country. Maybe it's our singing, maybe it's the playing instruments, who knows, Howard, but the fact that women seem to be working cohesively together seems to cause a huge offense.
Well, and that
maybe
says it all. It doesn't that say it all? Because when people start to reach out in peace and you claim that normalization, I mean, the absurdity of the statement that normalization undermines everything. Well, surely that's what everybody would look for, because how can you claim that there's discrimination if there is complete normalization? Absolutely fascinating. And I think it's very, very telling, probably more than almost any other story, when you see that the Palestinian Authority and Hamas reacting so badly and chafing so vehemently against a march for peace. I think that should tell you the whole story. Time is five.
Do you know who was conspicuous by her absence, Howard?
Yes.
The arch-feminist, Linda Sarsour.
Yeah, but are we shocked? I don't think so.
Not in the least. So young girls out there, and I really appeal to the young millennials who believe that she really, really is somebody to look up to, that she's a role model. Think about your role models very, very carefully.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Rolly Marks, there we leave it. I wish you a Chag Sameach. Enjoy the last. Well, it's only one day for you there, really. We are out of contact for 3 days. So please make sure that the world keeps spinning as it needs to. And and we'll catch up.
Control.
Oh, come on, Raleen. Oh, please don't say that. We know that you do. We know that you do. Don't Zionists and Jews control the media and control the banks and cause all the wars? Really?
Well, then I've got a very busy days.
Yes, you're going to be very busy while the rest of us aren't able to. You're going to have to do what you can. Raleen Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.